This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1528. These future phrases are a taste of things to come.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American host, Aubrey Carter, the IELTS whiz, and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, coming to you from Arizona and Colorado, USA. Today, you get the second episode in our series on how to sound interesting when you talk about the future. Today, learn about how to talk about your plans when the dates and times are more fixed in English. Everyone knows that the missing piece when it comes to fluency is having a way to practice, but we also know that you're busy. So that's why we've added special speaking opportunities for all students in our courses. Monthly fluency parties with an All Ears English host, open conversation club every week, and even a live Q&A in some plans. Join our online fluency course to get these benefits and more. Go to allearsenglish.com/plan to save 20% when you join before midnight on May 5th. But this offer does expire at midnight on May 5th. So go to allearsenglish.com/PLAN. Hey, Aubrey, welcome back to the show. So excited to have you on All Ears English. You're always over there on IELTS Energy. We love it when you come over here.
Yes. Hi, Lindsay. It's so fun to be over here. I love IELTS Energy. Jessica is so fun, but it's really fun to come over here too.
Yeah, so it's good to mix it up. So last week, Aubrey, we were getting into a brand new series with you and me talking about the future tense. Is that right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. If you guys missed that one, go check it out. 1525. We started this series because natives aren't always formal with future tense. We don't really use will very often or even going to. Instead, we use really native phrases that are very specific to if you're talking about the immediate future or a little bit further away. So the last episode, we talked about ones you would use for things that are happening right away, especially when you don't know the date, like, oh, it's going to happen any minute, but I don't know exactly when. And today we're talking about the future that's just a little bit further away.
Exactly. And you guys should go back if you missed that one for whatever reason, go back and listen to 1525, because we kind of showed you throughout the episode how important it is to use those ones when you're talking about, again, as Aubrey said, something you're not quite sure of when exactly it's going to happen. And today we're getting into something a little more solid around when things are going to happen, right, Aubrey?
Exactly, right. These are for what we call the near future. Mm-hmm. So things that aren't as immediate, but are still going to happen soon. And some of these are perfect for when you do have a date and you have plans, then you can use these.
Yeah, I love this. And as we said in the last episode, changing up the way you talk about the future, guys, especially getting away from will and going to, is one of the biggest shortcuts or hacks that you could use to get to sound native really, really quickly. Right, Aubrey? I love this idea.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Second language learners have a tendency to use will over and over because they understand it. They know the grammar is correct.
Yes.
But yeah, it's kind of boring and it's it just is repetitive, right?
It just doesn't sound natural. You know, there are just certain things that flag you as a non-native speaker, guys, and that's one of them. Right. When you're always using will and going to, especially will is often used incorrectly, actually, because it is quite subtle. Right. Will versus going to. And we can do that another day. But it's kind of subtle. And I hear a lot of mistakes with will. So try these, guys. Try these out. Have the confidence to try one of these. OK.
Yeah. So we're going to give you three phrases. Well, four today, and exactly how to use them. Example sentences so that you can practice using these to sound more natural.
I love it. I love it. Let's dive in. I can't wait to hear where they are. So the first one, what is it, Aubrey?
So it's in the near future, which means very soon. You might not know exactly when. Usually means like a few weeks or months in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Are you planning to add any members to your family, like furry friends?
No, I know. I put as an example sentence, we're planning to get a dog in the near future, but we're not actually. When I grew up and we had a lot of animals, but they were all outside. Mm-hmm. And I can't get past that, like, pets should be outside.
That's so funny.
Can't get over it in my mind. Oh my and in gosh. Arizona, it's much too hot for an animal to be outside all the time. We would have to, you know, they would be in our home all the time. So more my poor kids, because they would love to have a pet.
Yeah, and you would be outside walking it all the time. So that'd be hard. That'd be really hard. But it is, I have to say, it is so fun having a dog. I'm a puppy owner for the first time. And just on Sunday, my puppy got to meet his two sisters from his litter.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was so fun. We got connected to the shelter, reconnected through Instagram, and we arranged to meet at the dog park. And you could see their commonalities and how they run the same, how they walk the same. It was so cute.
Oh, that's adorable. This is a great phrase, though, you guys. You definitely need to practice using this. You'll hear natives say it all the time. Yes. When they're talking about something that's coming up a few weeks, a few months, probably don't know exactly when. If someone were to get a pet, they could say, oh, yeah, we're going to get one in the near future. And you know that means less than a year for sure, a couple months at the most.
Yeah, I like to use this when it comes to talking about kind of vague goals, somewhere in between specific and vague, right? Goals that you want to accomplish. You know, in the near future, I hope to save more money for my retirement, for example, something like that.
Yes, right? Exactly.
Like,
right.
I'm going to make a small change in the future, and you're intentional about it, showing your intention.
Exactly. Right. But you haven't gotten to the point where you have nailed down the exact date and set like an OKR, right?
Right. Objective key result. Yes, exactly. Aubrey. I love it. Okay.
All right. Let's do the next one. Yeah. Okay. So this one, there are two here that are very similar, a sign of things to come or a taste of things to come. You'll hear both of these. They're used to indicate how things are going to be in the future. Often an experience that is likely to be repeated. So for example, you might say, oh, so many people are losing their jobs. I feel like this is a sign of things to come.
It's a sign of things to come. Yeah, we could do a whole nother episode on just the word sign being used in sayings, right? A sign of the times.
We use it a lot.
Right.
And this one kind of has a bit of a negative connotation, I feel like, when we say, oh, that's a sign of things to come. It doesn't usually mean good, happy things.
Yeah. Or a taste of things to come. Very similar, guys. Just a more artful way to say it, right? This is just a taste of things to come. Just a little sampling. And this could either be positive or negative, right, Aubrey? It could be either one, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. Right. You might hear someone say that storm was a taste of things to come. And you know, there's going to be a bigger storm tomorrow. Or this appetizer is just a taste of things to come. And you know, you have a delicious meal waiting for you.
Yeah. If the appetizer is really, really good, then you know that something good is coming after that. So.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or you could say the fireworks at the start of this party were just a taste of things to come. If you're hosting a fun party and it's going to be amazing, right? You're letting them, you're sort of foreshadowing amazing things coming by saying that was just a taste. There's great things on the horizon coming very soon.
Exactly. So we use this to talk about like teasers, right? Things
definitely.
That give people a little taste. You got to come for the main event if you've already experienced this and you liked it.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
So this next one, I really like it because we always used to count the days until summer, right? We used to count the days until summer vacation. I'm sure you do the opposite, Aubrey, when it comes to being a mom.
It's so miserable and hot here. I count the days until school starts again.
Right. The opposite of what your kids do, I'm sure. Yeah.
We can say either counting the days until or counting down the days until. We use them both interchangeably. And we use it especially when you're anxiously awaiting a future event and you want it to happen sooner.
Oh my God. I remember the days of school, right? As soon as you hit June, when you're in elementary school, it's like, why are we even here? We're counting 19 days, 18 days. You just don't want to be there anymore.
Right.
You want to be
done. I'm curious, did you count down the days to summer more or count down school going back? I always counted down going back to school. I was so excited for school to start again as a kid too.
No. I was a summer girl. My birthday's in the summer. I love summertime. I like freedom. So
nice.
No, I would kind of more dread that. I mean, I was happy to start a new year of school, but I would definitely be more excited about the end of school year than the beginning.
I'd be curious for our listeners if it's the same for you guys. When you were a kid, did you look forward more to set like a summer break from school or getting back to school? I think a lot of kids do look forward to summer, but I was so excited when school started again.
That's cool. So maybe you got like a new outfit, get a new backpack with pencils or
new
fresh
notebooks,
pencil case or
clean,
something, right?
Fresh notebooks.
That's so funny. I love it. I love it. You must have been a really good student then. Like,
I was a
focused.
Good student. I loved school. I was very studious. It was fun for me. And where I lived in a very rural area where our friends from school, we did not get to see in the summer because they lived too far or very rarely. So it was also a chance to be able to see friends again at school because we didn't really see them in the summer much.
That makes sense. So there are other benefits to starting school than just being in class.
Right.
Are you counting down the days until anything else?
I was just going to say, you could also say like you're counting down the days until a trip, but we talk about this all the time because we're like so sad we can't be traveling right now. So I don't have any trips I'm counting down the days until, unfortunately. But I am counting the days until my daughter's birthday, which is very soon because I'm excited. Okay. We're going to throw her a fun party. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm counting down the days until that. What about you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're planning some trips for the spring that are going to be a little low profile, like very safer trips. We're planning to drive out to, I think, like West Virginia and do some like hiking out there somewhere on the East Coast. And so I'm counting down the days to do a little trip. I just love traveling. Yes. I love road trips. This is the year of the road trip, 2021, 2020. So I'm counting down the days to just explore a little bit more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know what I am counting down the days until? I'm excited about this. We are going to do a business web class, Jessica and I.
Yes.
So you guys, if you haven't heard about this yet, you need to go to allearsenglish.com/promotion. We are going to teach you everything you need to know to be successful at work and be able to get the promotion that you deserve. Right, Lindsay?
Yeah, this is awesome. Guys, I don't know of any other business English web class that would teach you something like this. We'll give you the phrases, the vocabulary, and the strategies and skills to do it because you want to keep moving up in your career and you want to do better at work. So these are skills you need. And Aubrey, where can our listeners go to sign up?
Yes, go to allearsenglish.com/promotion. It's going to be March 6th and 9th, and you do not want to miss it. It's not recorded. You have to attend live. So sign up. We will see you there.
Yeah, we don't record our web classes, guys. So you have to show up. So mark your calendar. Get up at 2 a.m. if you have to. You don't want to miss it.
Right? Exactly. Cool. Hey, let's do a role play.
Yes. Yeah, let's do it. Jinx.
Okay, I'll start. This is funny because I wrote this one about you potentially going on a skiing trip, which is funny because anyone who missed 1525, Lindsay started talking about a skiing trip she's actually planning, looking forward to. And then we realized none of the phrases we taught you can really use for something you've planned. So these, you'll see how we fit them in this role play. These are perfect for when you're talking about a trip you've actually planned, right?
Excellent.
So Lindsay, do you have any fun plans for the near future?
Yes, definitely, Aubrey. We are going skiing in a couple of weeks and I'm counting down the days until our trip.
Nice. Where do you usually go?
Colorado has some great snow. Some of the best resorts in the world are about a 30-minute drive from my house.
That's amazing. I skied when I was younger, but I have not been in a very long time.
Why not?
Well, I got in a really bad wreck. I was injured and it felt like a sign of things to come.
Oh, no. Is that true? Did you?
Yes, I did in college. I was skiing and I sort of overcorrected and ended up going backwards down the, and I couldn't figure out how to, I couldn't get myself stopped and I hit a snowmaking machine.
Oh my gosh.
Which is metal. And I cut my head. They had to like take me down the mountain in the toboggan.
Oh my gosh. That is not funny at all.
Stitch me up.
I started laughing and then I stopped laughing when I heard this.
You're like, I should not be laughing at this.
That's terrible. Were
it
you
was.
Scared? Like, were you, so what were the injuries or what were the extent of your injuries?
It was luckily very minor, but it was a close call because they said it was like millimeters from doing permanent brain damage where it cut me. It was just above my ear.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was just very lucky/blessed that it wasn't worse, but it's really scared all of my friends because there was just a lot of blood in the snow is very stark, the red on white, right? And so they had to take me and I had blacked out. So I don't even, I kind of came to going down in the sled and they stitched me up and luckily I was fine, but it was definitely traumatic enough that I haven't skied since.
Absolutely. Scary. I probably wouldn't ski again either. That's terrifying. I mean, this must have been in the days before helmets. So helmets
yeah, there were
came
no
in
helmets.
Yeah, it must have been like in the 90s or so, or mm-hmm. like 2000s.
Yep.
Yeah. So helmets came into style somewhere in the mid 2000s. Now everyone just wears a helmet when they ski, which helps.
Yeah, that's so much safer.
But when I was a kid too, we used to ski in hats, and I can't believe we did it. I was like, what were you thinking? Because I also hit a tree on skis when I was a teenager.
You did?
But luckily, and I hit on my head, yes. But haven't, you know, I just got up and I was okay. But it could have been so much worse.
Yes.
So much
right?
worse.
I know there are a lot of fatalities skiing. It can be really dangerous. Definitely the helmets help. I know I should try again and just wear a helmet. But now I don't live anywhere near snow, so it has to be a destination for me to go further to get to the snow.
And yeah, now True. You're in a warm place for sure.
Yeah. Well, so let's go through all of the ones that we used, right? So I asked you if you have plans for the near future, you know, and this is a fun way of, instead of saying like, oh, do you have any plans coming up? Use that phrase for the near future. It's a fun one, right?
Just mix it up a little bit. And then I said, yes, we're going skiing in a couple of weeks and I'm counting the days until our trip. And I also could have said, I'm counting down the days, right?
Exactly.
As I said to our listeners before, guys. Yeah.
Yep. They work perfectly, right? And then, so I was saying, I haven't been skiing in a long time. You asked why not. And I said, oh, I wrecked. And it felt like a sign of things to come. Yeah. So this is when we're saying it's sort of foreboding something terrible that'll happen again. I was like, I just knew that I would get hurt again.
Yeah. So you just stopped. Yeah. Impending doom.
Right.
That's so funny. So these are really useful. As you guys know, like this was something that's planned, right? A ski trip is planned. We know when it's happening. These are the phrases you use when you talk about that.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners today, Aubrey?
So like we were saying, you know, just try to avoid using will and even, you know, going to as often. Use some of these great native phrases, whether you're talking about the immediate future or the near future. Start listening for these. You're going to hear natives using them all the time. You're going to hear them on TV and in movies. You'll see them in books. Look at how they're used and start practicing them, because these do make you sound so much more native and natural.
Yeah, I love it. And that is the key to connection right there, guys. Try to sound as natural as you possibly can so you can build those connections that you want. Don't keep saying things from the textbook over and over and over again. So look into yourself, think, do I use will too much? Probably. Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.